information is given with regards to the Lord's Supper or not. It's being created. The Catechism gave a broad, general description of the Lord's Supper, what it means, and what the significance of it is. Now, here at these two Lord's Days, one of the important things that comes out is who are the proper partakers of this sacrament. The answer is that those who are proper partakers judgment for sin that is death. But Christ came and stood in our place. He took upon himself the guilt of our sins, and standing guilty before God with our sins, and bore the punishment that we deserve. He made full and complete satisfaction on the cross. He didn't make just a partial satisfaction, paying for just some of our sins, and then leaving some of it for a further sacrifice down the road, or leaving something for us to do to save ourselves. Fully atoned. He could say, having borne the wrath of God and torments of hell, it is finished. That means then that there's no need for repeated sacrifices. What the Hebrews is doing here is it's describing what was going on in the Old Testament and how the priests day after day had offered these sacrifices. And none of them could really take away sin. They were just pictures pointing to Christ. Really, the same thing is true of Roman Catholic Mass. They think this is a repeated sacrifice, but it's empty. There's no salvation and forgiveness of sins. Roman Catholic Mass. The Lord's Supper is not the repeating of what happened on Good Friday. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance. It's our remembering and commemorating that one sacrifice on the cross. That gives us this sacrament graciously. The Lord's Supper doesn't add anything that's not already found in the Scriptures. The Word of God that we hear preached declares to us Sunday after Sunday the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. God gives us the sacraments as a help to the weakness of our faith. It's something that appeals our other senses, to sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of taste and sight, so that what we hear with our ear in the preaching is further confirmed to us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to strengthen our that question and answer 79, saying there that the purpose of the Lord's Supper is, first of all, to teach us. But it's more than that. The purpose is especially to assure us that we are really partakers of Christ's true body and blood. The purpose of our partaking is to strengthen us in our assurance. A wonderful blessing God is to us. That can at times be doubt. Doubt of salvation because of the greatness of our sin. Or doubt our salvation because of the hard circumstances of life that God has ordained for us. judges the Roman Catholic Mass to be an accursed idolatry. We mustn't shy away from that, then. Question and answer meeting has an important place in our Reformed confessions. It's an accurate description and explanation of what God says in His Word. In condemning the Roman Catholic Mass, clearly faithfully sets forth the right theology of the Lord's Supper. Lord's Day 30 describes also our fencing of the Lord's table as the important calling of self-examination, not only by maintaining the right theology of the sacrament, but also personally by proper self-examination prior to our coming to the sacrament. Is for calling from God. Prior to our coming to the sacrament to partake, we have to examine ourselves. We have to take our heart, our mind, our conscience, our whole life, and put it under the microscope. Examine whether we're living by faith, living a grateful life of obedience to the Word of God. It's important because there's no one else who can know and examine our hearts. We're going to see in just a little bit, God willing, the calling of the church to examine our outward life. But no other person can see into our heart and into our mind. Or every one of us then, personally, to examine ourselves. And that's something that we have to do regularly and daily. Four times a year, we have a preparatory service in a week in which we examine ourselves before we come and we partake. But our self-examination can't be limited to just those four times a year. This is a regular activity for child of God. Regularly, we ask ourselves, It's also a responsibility God gives to each one of us as members of the church. It's the church's calling to fence this table. But be careful in that regard. Be careful, first of all, that not first of all looking at the lives of others. Very easy for us to do that, focus on someone else and their weaknesses and their sins and to be critical of them without first stopping and examining our own hearts and lives. It has to start with ourselves. And then also we have to deal charitably with one another. The attitude that we have towards one another is not one of criticism and skepticism and doubt. We're always looking at one another with skeptical attitude, wondering if that person is really walking in sin or not. I don't know. Critical, doubting. Can't judge hearts of our brothers and sisters in Christ who may be there. Deal with one another charitably. Brother or a sister outwardly is showing themselves to be a believer. Judge them with a judgment of charity. We're not doubting, questioning all of their heart and their motives and what's going on inside. Deal with them in love. Understanding that there is yet a calling for us. We are aware, brother and sister in Christ, that is walking sinfully and rebelliously and insincerely. We have the calling to address them, go to them, speak to them, walk with them the way of Matthew 18, because we love them, because we're concerned about their spiritual well-being, because we're concerned about the well-being of the church, guarding the fencing of the Lord's table. So careful, charitable provision that one of us has with regard to the sacrament. When that's not done, consequences are very serious for the church. If those who are unbelieving and ungodly are permitted to partake knowingly, by this, the covenant of God would be profaned and his wrath kindled against the whole congregation. Not only are there serious spiritual consequences for the individual who partakes unworthily, if the church, knowledge of how this person is living and walking, allows them to partake. Serious spiritual consequences for the congregation. God's wrath, we're told, is kindled against the congregation. The result for the congregation is not spiritual growth and strengthening. Consequence. Spiritual weakness. Means for the church, she's heading down the road of apostasy. The church has to mend her way. Carefully again, supervise the table of the Lord. The church is done, that graciously